Before I get to what I intend to talk about in terms of this morning's Parsha, in the course of deciding what I was going to talk about, I ran across something cute and I can't not tell you. So I'm going to do that first and then I'll talk to you about what I'm going to talk about, because there's a lot of good stuff in the Parsha this morning. And one of the comments that the Torah makes about the Luchot, about the Ten Commandments, is that they read the same from one side and from the other, which you would think of as a kind of neat technical trick, but it doesn't really have any implications. So what? If you can't read it from one side, you just turn it over. But in Iturei Torah, there's a lovely little Hasidic story that actually gives it a different kind of meaning. A man came to the rabbi and he said, "Listen, if I can just cheat a little bit, I can save myself an enormous amount of money." And the rabbi said to him, "Read what it says in the Torah. It doesn't matter which way you turn the luchot, you're still not allowed to steal." So I thought that was a nice lesson from something that seems not so fraught with meaning, but in fact, maybe that's part of the point, is that you're not actually allowed to shave points off the commandments. What I did want to talk about, though, was something else, which is that, you know, the Parsha is very much about Moshe. And I know that we're going to hear later about Moshe breaking the tablets. But I want to talk about the fact that Moshe goes up to the mountain, spends 40 days there, brings down the tablets, then has to go back up the mountain again. And you would think would quickly get the second set, but in fact spends another 40 days up there, comes back down, and this time when Moshe comes down, at the very end of our parsha, you discover that he's wearing a veil every time he comes out of a meeting with God, because his face is radiant and he doesn't want to alarm the Israelites. So, a couple of questions. One, why does Moshe have to go up to the mountain for so long? Presumably to learn what he has already learned. And the second is, why is it that the first time he comes down the mountain, he doesn't have to wear a veil, and the second time he does? You would think it would be the opposite in a way. Usually it's your first encounter that makes you feel like you want some distance, and then later with greater intimacy, you don't have to wear a veil anymore. So let's take the first part. You know, it says in Pirkei Avot, which is Ethics of the Fathers, the easiest part of the Mishnah to study, which says all these wonderful comments like Hillel's comment, "If I'm not for myself, who will be for me?" That's from Pirkei Avot. That's the kind of short didactic sentence that Pirkei Avot is full of, and it starts off as follows. Moses received the Torah from, you want to fill that in? God, you would think, but that's not what it says. Moshe kibil Torah miSinai. Moses got the Torah from Sinai. Now, usually, the easy way of understanding it is that Sinai is what English majors call a synecdoche. That is, it stands in for something else. That Sinai is really another way of saying God. But in fact, Abravanel, around the time of the Spanish Inquisition, who was the leader of the Jewish community and a Torah commentator, said, no, actually, Moses really got the Torah from Sinai. Because the 40 days that Moses spent on Sinai alone, by himself, gave him the necessary spiritual preparation to receive the Torah. And that we think Moses just went up there and got it, but in fact, Moshe had to be ready too. And a lot of receiving any kind of spiritual instruction is preparing your soul. So Moshe sort of goes on a retreat, and he's alone on Sinai, which, by the way, is a Jewish spiritual practice. The Hasidim called it hitbodedut, which means aloneness. That before you come to the community, you have to spend time alone examining your own soul. So after the catastrophe of the golden calf, Moses needs another 40 days to reorient himself, to understand again what went wrong, to receive the Torah anew. And this time, what's the difference in the second set of tablets from the first? Anybody remember? There is a difference. He carves it. Exactly. You get whatever gold star we have to give out. The first time it says that God gave it to him. The second time it explicitly says that Moshe carves the luchot. So now let's go back to our second question, which is about the veil. And let me tell you a beautiful answer from Rabbi Sacks, the chief rabbi of Britain. He said, why is it that Moshe has a radiant face the second time he comes down the mountain and not the first time? Because the second time he carved the tablets. And we are not changed by what we receive, we are changed by what we do. The first time he received the Luchot, the second time he made the Luchot. So Moshe is different because he did it. He went up to Sinai to prepare his soul. He carved the tablets. And even though we read this story and we usually think it's about Israel and their sin, or about God and God's disappointment, or about the failure of Moshe's leadership, there's also a powerful spiritual lesson about how it is that we grow from our mistakes, from self-examination, and from our own actions that in the end will change us. So in this parsha, which records Israel's disappointment, it also records the way to overcome that disappointment, which is by spiritual growth, which is why when Moshe asks God to show me your glory, God obliges, because now he understands that is Moshe, what it is to see God, as we are told, panim el panim, face to face. And that is what we're told Moshe does in the Parsha. And if you remember, at the very end of the Torah, how does it praise Moses? It doesn't say Moses was the most ethical person who ever lived, or did the most mitzvot of anyone who ever lived, all the things we would expect. Instead, the highest praise that the Torah can give Moshe is Moshe saw God panim el panim, face to face. Remember that, because we're going to revisit that phrase again in just a little bit. Everybody, come on.